All right. Welcome to From the Bleachers, the only podcast that recognizes that Real Housewives is a sport. Today, we are analyzing the plays made in season 14, episode 2 of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm Sandra.
I am Mandy. What did you think about the title of this week's episode? The icing on the brain cake.
It made me scratch my brain cake.
I think brain cake may be the new phrase that sweeps the nation.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't.
You don't think brain cake's going to hit it?
Was that because of his brain surgery? And what's the icing?
Was there a cake with brain that was shaped like a brain and I just missed it?
If so, I missed it also.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And it wasn't that juicy of an episode. So what's the icing on the brain cake? Like, what is the icing?
I do have a theory about that to be discussed when we get to it, actually, now that you mention it.
Okay.
I think I know what my icing is.
Okay. Well, let's jump right in today. So we get some previously seen clips. We have Gabriella is going to college. Margaret doesn't want Jen Fessler to talk to Teresa on her behalf. Danielle told Teresa that Jen Fessler said, "You guys didn't execute the plan correctly," which I had gotten wrong last episode. I thought Danielle was the one who had said you didn't execute the plan correctly, but it was Jen Fessler who said that.
Right. No, it was the other.
And Danielle was just the messenger. Of Fuda and of Dolores had it out at Fessler's party. And Teresa and the Fudas also had it out at Fessler's party. And then we get our first playing of the taglines.
Yay!
Yeah, they didn't start the season off with the taglines this time. They threw them into episode 2.
I'm guessing the taglines are a space holder when they need it, and then they don't air them when they have enough stuff. But this was definitely an episode where we could have used like double taglines, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good minute of footage, so it's like, oh, we don't have much to show, so just throw the taglines in.
Yeah.
So we start with Melissa. It's hard not to burn bridges when you're on fire.
Is that because she has like an STD? Is that what she's talking about? Oh, whoa. That was rude.
I like that. I like this one, though. I think that's good.
It is.
Burning bridges, you're on fire. I think that's a good one. Dolores, I'm a girl from Patterson, playing Switzerland, dating an Irishman.
I love that her tagline is basically what we've talked about all last episode with her.
Yes, she is playing Switzerland. She's calling herself out for that. She's on both sides.
Yep.
I mean, I'm glad she called that out in her tagline because that's an important part of her storyline. I don't know that I really like the I don't know. I feel like they could have done a better job with something about being in the middle or Switzerland than what they did.
Or at least, I mean, like she's trying to show that she's very international here this season. Patterson, Switzerland, Irishman, you know, she's all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't do it for me. Danielle, I'm bougie, unbothered, and above your drama.
I would like to see this be her case because she today is playing the role of Switzerland.
She's claiming to. Yeah. She's claiming to. We'll see. We'll get into whether she's really Switzerland or not. Margaret. While you're taking cheap shots, I'm taking screenshots.
This is a good one because it basically says, like you've noted here, like I'm keeping receipts. Like I'm making sure I have receipts.
Yes. I like that. This is like a gameplay kind of a tagline too. It's like, I'm playing at a higher level than you are. I'm thinking this through. What are people going to want to see? I've got the screenshots.
Right.
But yeah. I like this one a lot.
Yes.
Rachel Fuda. If you don't have my back, at least have a backbone.
I think this almost, what we see in this episode, this seems like it's almost a direct shot across the messy, fessy bow.
Yeah.
And maybe others that we'll see.
Yeah, it's okay. I would put this as okay. We should start rating the taglines.
That's a great idea.
Out of 10, I give it a 5 or a 6.
Oh, whoa.
It's okay.
That's okay. I don't think that, I think a 10 is a very, I think like we are like going to be the Russian judges when it comes to giving out 10s because.
Yes.
Taglines, you gotta bring your game.
Yes, agree. Jennifer Aiden, friends are like handbags. The fake ones are all too easy to spot.
Meh.
I like the tagline. I'm not sure how it's going to apply to her yet.
Right.
And so that will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But if it goes well with her storyline, then I like it.
It's funny. Melissa had the first one and then Teresa has the last one.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
I noticed that too. And they both have good, really good ones too.
Yeah.
And so we end with Teresa. You can try to tear me down, but this tree just keeps on growing.
I think that's nice.
I think it's a good one. I would give that.
It's a good nod to her, sort of her namaste bitches business.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, she had the threat of, or no, I guess that was the other way around. Melissa, Teresa threatened Melissa. She's not going to be back.
Yeah.
But and in case it's true, this tree does keep on growing. It's her 14th season. And I think she deserves this tagline. So I think it's pretty good.
Agreed.
Okay, getting into the episode. So first we got our New Jersey shots and we're going house to house. We start at Rachel Fuda's house. She's changing diapers. The Gorgas are chasing Nico, their cute little puffy pet. And for the second week in a row, Nico gets my pampered pet of the week.
I'm so happy for Nico. You know, I thought about giving it to Teresa's little dog, but Teresa's little dog didn't really do much.
Nope. This little fluffy pup, she's pissing all over the season.
Yep. I think it's a good, I think basically this dog is trying to say, Mom, your new house is great. I'm going to make sure it's mine.
Claiming its territory, getting the screen time, turning it in for the second seats for the second episode in a row. It was great. And then we're over at Jennifer Aiden's house. They're kind of talking about back to school stuff and her daughter Olivia wants a Vampire Diaries backpack.
And?
I don't know. That's it. Do you know anything about Vampire Diaries?
I really don't. But I loved in this moment the way the older sister was just like, you're a freak.
Yeah, that was relatable. That's kind of siblings right there.
It was very nice, authentic moment for our staged family moments. That one I thought landed very well.
Yes, very a lot less staged. And Jennifer Aiden looked legitimately stressed out as she's like trying to throw stuff together. It looked like she's like online shopping or something, trying to figure out start of school. Like, oh shit, it's already here.
Holy fuck.
Then we get a photo shoot with Danielle and it's with her daughter. So her daughter Valentina is getting headshots and Danielle is having her make faces in the mirror. First, surprise. She has a little surprise face and then she says, do happy. And she does a little happy face and her psychotic happy face was my face play of the game.
Oh my God.
That's a really excellent choice. That is, I was watching it very quickly to get my face play of the game the second time through. And mm-hmm. I totally glossed over that as a fertile bed of options.
I loved it. I love her playing to the cameras in that moment. I love that she gave Danielle another dance mom moment here.
Yes, this was big time dance mom moment.
Yeah, she was like, that's not a happy face. That's a psycho face.
Which was great.
Let's get it right. Get it right before the camera comes. So then they're talking about New York Fashion Week. Danielle was invited to New York Fashion Week for Bougie Kids, which is a big deal.
I thought that was super cool when I heard that. I was like, oh, wow. Like she's getting there.
Yeah.
I think.
And then they talk about how it's been 6 years since of Daniel's surgery. She says he couldn't walk. He had a cyst in his brain. And now she wants to throw him a celebration of life party.
So this was a good, it falls under two categories. And for our new Bleacher Nation, a PTC is the personal tragedy card and the IFI is an injury, fear, or illness. So it's a personal tragedy, right? That he had a brain cyst and had to have surgery 6 years ago. So we've laid down a PTC and it's an illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one that you're always going to be afraid would come back. So we've also got a good IFI going there.
We do. And what would we call it when you mislabel a party?
Are we talking about the celebration of life?
Yes. And I was like, does she know what a celebration of life party is?
So that I reference this later on in the episode. Yeah, I don't know what you would call that. Is it? It's sort of like a malaprop. No, it's not really a malapropism. I don't know what we would call that. She's just doing something with her wild oats. What is it?
Exploring her wild oats.
She's just exploring her naming oats, her wild naming oats.
So she says she's inviting all the women to the party. She calls herself the middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
See if that plays out or not. And they say they're not inviting family to the party. So we already know she has this PTC about this rift between her and her brother, but now it's expanded. Now she is also not speaking to her father because he won't back her on the brother thing.
Yeah, which is a little, I don't know.
It's giving us another clue into maybe it's not all on the brother. Maybe it's not all the brother's fault.
I don't know. I don't understand why he would send a gift back. I don't know what happened there, but whatever.
I mean, he just really wants to send the message, like, we don't want you anymore. Is
yeah.
My guess. But
yeah.
Who knows? It would be great to get their side of things. Who knows? Right. It doesn't seem like we ever will.
No, I don't think they're going to be on.
At least she does still let the kids see her dad. And but of Daniel has to take them to see him. This is so lame. Like, when you start getting into this stuff, it's so lame. Like, I understand that. And I think it's like becoming, especially with like millennials and younger, it's becoming more and more common for people to cut off their parents. And I think there's some legitimacy to that, because it's like, we won't stand for like a, you know, constant like verbal abuse or whatever it is. And it's like, we're getting into therapy more. And so we're like, you know, learning how to set boundaries and whatnot. And I'm all for that. But it's, I think sometimes people are like, they take boundaries as like, I don't like something, so now I'm setting a boundary, instead of like trying to work through a problem.
And this is also one of the things that's sort of brought up in that Anxious Generation book, which I've read, which is that idea that we have raised, like, you know, all the millennials and whatnot that are coming of age who had the lawnmower parents, where everything is supposed to feel good and be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get to college and they're suddenly like, oh, I need trigger warnings, you know, because it's like, like, I get it. Like, if you were raped, you want to know before you go into reading a piece of fiction that there's going to be a graphic rape scene. Like, I get that.
Right.
But like, you know, like, if you're going to go read Huck Finn and, you know, like, do you need the trigger warning to read that? Like, when you know, aren't a slave, haven't been human trafficked, things like that, you know, like, you've got to just approach certain things with a little bit of grit, including your relationships with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean they're wrong.
Cutting everything you don't like out of your life means you're probably not going to have much left in your life, because
yeah.
Life isn't perfect.
Turns out. I mean, mine is.
I wasn't talking about you, of course.
Right. Well, you and I are the shining examples. So. The city on a hill, as it were.
So then we cut over to Dolores and Polly's house. Dolores is getting back into real estate, and seems like, not just for show, she is actually showing a house. So this isn't just like pretending she's getting back into real estate,
mm-hmm.
which often people will do on the show just to have something.
Interesting.
She says it's liberating her. Being financially independent is very important to her.
I like that storyline idea.
You like the story?
Like, I like that as a storyline idea for her, like, of her independence. She's taking care of herself, even though she's living with Paul, with Dolores.
Yeah, I agree. And then they transition to talking about their quote unquote friend group. There's no trust in the friend group, they say. They're talking about the party last night at Jen Fessler's, or not at Jen Fessler, but about for Jen Fessler. Of Dolores says he was going to take his titty out to feed of Fuda at Jen's party because of his overreaction to everything.
I basically wrote in my notes, of Dolores calls the Italian guys a bunch of babies.
Yes, gotta love the, I don't know, I don't know if you can call it, it's not racism, what is it when you're just insulting someone of the same race as you but from a different country?
Yeah, I don't know, but it is a little, I mean, there's a strong history in this country of Irish versus Italian, so, you know,
so then it's fine.
Exactly. If there's a history of it, it's,
if everyone's been doing it, it's fine. And then they talk about how they're going to the Jersey Shore to celebrate of Daniel at his celebration of life party that he's still alive for. Then we transition to Teresa and Louis's house. Louis's dad is a recovering alcoholic, and they're going to sell to his celebration to get his 8 year sober coin. Louis plays his PTC here. He and his dad used to struggle, but they've come a long way in his sobrieties. Teresa plays a PTC. She talks about how Gabriella is leaving in 5 days. She said she was crying this morning. She starts producing tears in this moment. And Louis plays great STCO to her and gives her a hug.
So he's doing good work. He's doing good work
as her of.
I guess he's Louis. He's not of Teresa, but.
Interchangeable.
I will have to say, at this point, I think we have seen Teresa do an ITM.
Is this about Margaret?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Then you say yours.
My note says, Jesus, Teresa in the blue dress for her ITM is awful with her hair. So for this stunning moment of me paying attention to fashion and hair and makeup, Teresa wins my fashion play of the game.
Ooh, pretty.
Okay. Fashion play of the game for bad fashion?
For bad, for something that maybe stand up and notice fashion.
If it draws your eye to it, sometimes it takes the win.
Yeah. There's no such thing as bad press, and apparently there's no such thing as bad fashion.
Or no such thing as bad fashion play.
Excellent correction and clarification. There's no such thing as bad fashion play.
So then Teresa, they are kind of getting into talking about the quote-unquote friend group. Again, and Teresa ITMs that there are things she can't say regarding Margaret because it involves legal issues, but she can't wait for the world to see what a liar she is. She says, I will be so happy singing like a bird. And this was my runner-up for play of the game.
Nice. This is a strong runner-up. I agree. Like, this is lawyer-up play is always exciting. Hinting at lawyer-up play is exciting.
I love this. I love this play from Teresa. This is more of what we need when people have legal play. Like, can Erica Jane take a note out of this book? Like,
right.
She just sits there like stone faced and is like, cannot comment.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't, there's certain things you can't say, but you can still talk. You can give your opinion on things and how you expect them to turn out and throw a little shade. Like, come on. This was great. This was fun.
This was excellent play by Teresa. She did a good job.
And now all of our interest is piqued, wondering what exactly did she find out legally, and you know what's going on there, and what is going to happen later? Are we going to find out about it?
It's going to be so curious, so curious.
And then we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we are joining the Gorgas at Ilya Restaurant. It's a family brunch, 18th birthday party for Antonia. And I thought the cake might win my fashion play because it was this bright pink cake with sort of like, you know, like when you have buttons on upholstery, like it's sort of spaced out little silver bobbly things there, which is great.
Yeah, I loved this pink cake. It was like the bling. It was like blinged out.
It was great. It was a beautiful cake. We have cute baby photos. We have memories about the day Antonia was born. We've got a little PTC about Melissa being laid out like a slab of meat being cut open. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
We've got Joe's reaction. Somebody talks about Joe sort of freaking out and not knowing how to be a parent. And we get this lovely little ITM from Joe about how they got pregnant about 2 months after they were married.
Mm-hmm.
And this very mature and thoughtful, like, we're trying to figure out who we are as a couple. And here we are pregnant. And now we've also got to figure out who we are as parents. And so it's hard for him also that she's going away. I thought Antonia was just very much a teenager through all of this scene. Like she continues to play that like, ugh, mom, ugh, dad kind of card. You know, she's just got this, ugh.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, that's her age. But I just wanted to say about Joe, it's great because he has such like immature, playful like jokes. But I love the moments of, oh, here's someone who can be a little bit thoughtful about life and can show some maturity and growth moments too.
Yeah, no, he's great with the quips, and he is also just authentically there as well, which is kind of nice, or at least seemingly authentically there. And so then we get our wonderful advice from Melissa about exploring your wild oats, which made me think she has a lot more in common with Teresa than she thinks, because they both can't throw out any of these aphorisms or tried and true little statements.
And just like with Teresa, she like doubles down on it too. People are like, that's not the saying. She says, explore her oats. And they go, that's not the saying. Explore her wild oats.
Like, and then someone's like, no, it's sow your wild oats. And she's like, well, what does that mean? Yeah. I'm like, okay, honey.
That's what a lot of people say, is that like Melissa and Teresa are more alike than they like to admit.
Yes, I think it is definitely true. So then it comes up that Nick, who is Melissa's cousin, and he and his partner Mike are going to be getting married. And it sounds like Joe is going to be officiating their ceremony. And there's all Melissa then has some wonderful tear play that she's so emotional about everything for the next 3 weeks while Antonia is getting packed up to go away.
Yeah.
And so this little bit about Mike and Nick choosing Joe to be their officiant also creates more tear play for them.
Yeah. And it's definitely like a little underhanded dig pointing at the fact that she's not treated like family by Teresa.
Right. No, it is definitely wonderful staging and strategizing, I thought. And then Joe also starts to speak and he gets kind of choked up. So there's just like a lot of nice tear play. Joe is super authentic.
I wonder though, did he, because he doesn't, you don't see anything, but he starts to say that he loves them and then he just stops and puts his finger up or something. And everyone's like, oh, are you going to tear up? And I was like, is he playing it for the camera?
He might be, but it was excellent delivery.
Oh, excellent. So, yeah. If it was fake, it was amazing acting.
Yeah. So, and then of course we have our return to how great Melissa's family is, and it's bittersweet that his family isn't around.
Wah, wah.
ETC.
More shots fired.
Yep.
So we get a little commercial, we come back, and we're at Teresa's house, and we're in the kitchen. She's in the kitchen with Gia.
Someone's in the kitchen with Gia, talking about the LSAT today.
Yeah, bum, bum. Real Housewives of Bend, Oregon, going on tour soon, y'all.
In a minivan behind a gas station soon.
Dream big.
That's what a roadie is.
So Gia is living at home and she's working in corporate law, following in Mandy's footsteps.
Dun, dun, dun. So she'll be podcasting one day, just you wait.
And then starting a band behind a gas.
In a minivan behind, that's what a roadie is, right?
Yes. Teresa says she got into immigration law because of what happened with her dad. This reminds me of, do you remember the whole last season, Jen Aiden? Her daughter says she wanted to be a love therapist.
Because her parents were having, yeah.
Yeah, and Jen was just like, it is Margaret's fault that she wants to be a love therapist. And it was like the end of the world that she wanted to be a love therapist. I was like, actually, that's a great profession. And how great that she was inspired by something going on in her personal life that she wants to help other people. Like, why is this such a, like, I understand that she was upset that her children found out about it because of Margaret. Right. But to make the like the career aspiration a negative thing was very strange to me. Compared to here, where like Teresa's like, this is great. She was inspired to get into immigration law because of what happened with her dad. Like, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Turn your own, you know, your own difficulties into helping others. I love those kind of stories. It's great.
Well, yeah. Especially because then you come at it with a better sense of empathy usually, which is wonderful.
Totally. Teresa brings up her daughter going to college PTC and says this morning she cried again. Gia says it's okay to be emotional, and Teresa cries about everything, actually.
I love how little drama Gia has as she's sort of like, it's cool, Mom. You're all right.
That's just what you do. I actually feel like Gia is somewhat of a truth teller and voice of reason. And that's why the fact that she is so anti-Melissa and anti-Joe makes me sometimes feel like, well, maybe Teresa's view on them is somewhat legit.
Yeah, right.
Like I trust Gia a little more than I trust Teresa to be more. I trust Gia to be a little more like logical about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I my relationship with Gia doesn't go back as far, mm-hmm. having only watched bits and pieces of seasons 1 through 12. But I agree. She does seem very much like, yeah. So if she has problems with it, there must, you know, there is maybe something there.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. Danielle arrives and no one's answering the door because they're lighting candles and spraying stuff to get rid of the dog smell. Apparently they have 4 dogs, and this is an error because where are all those 4 dogs? We see one of them later, but
yeah, we see Bella and that's it.
Come on. We need some more competition for Pampered Pet of the Week, y'all.
Right.
So they are going to be doing M Sculpt, which is like these 2 big paddles you put on your butt and it like makes your muscles contract and it's supposed to like work your muscles real hard, which is just something you do on a Friday afternoon or whatever.
It just doesn't. I mean, I would rather go to the gym and do squats. I'll be perfectly honest.
I don't know. I think I'd rather do the M sculpt.
Oh, it looks very uncomfortable. Like, I don't think it feels good.
But you can just lay there and grimace. I can do that. Danielle ITMs. She needs a little zap, 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 zap on her butt to prep for the Jersey Shore. She's good. Like, she's not doing a lot, I'm going to say, just like spoiler alert on my opinion of her this episode. She's not doing a lot this season so far, but she's always got these good little, she's good with the ITMs and the little quips and stuff. Like,
yes.
You can put her little clips in and they're good. Like, they're a little zap, 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 zap. Like, she's, you know, she's got good quips.
She's interesting. I find her interesting. I think she hasn't found her comfort level yet in
yes.
being herself and relaxing into that in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And so you feel her working at it a little bit, but I like her. There's something about her that I like. I think she's a very likable person.
Yeah. She hasn't found her place yet, but I hope that she does. Jennifer Aiden arrives and we get a little shot of Bella, the dog. Bella, who needs to step it up if she wants to our Pampered Pet of the Week award. She needs to pee on something, maybe chew on some M sculpt wires.
And get electrocuted?
She needs to do something. She's not pulling her weight.
Maybe she could just be like, maybe some interaction with her humans would actually do the trick.
That's boring.
That would work.
It's boring. Teresa is face down on the table with her butt cheeks out. She's grimacing through this M sculpt workout. Jennifer Aiden says she can't do it without gas because it hurts so much. I'm very curious to try it now. Then we cut over and we're going to have a pickleball game. Margaret's there in her signature pigtails and like this bright green kind of like jumpsuit, shorts, tracksuit thing. She ITMs that she played tennis before when she was sleeping with the instructor, and that's how she gets into sports. But she's not playing with the pickleball instructor yet. Rachel Fuda arrives and then Dolores Catania. And they start playing. And Rachel sets up a little IFI that her arm hurts as she's playing.
Yes.
More of that to come. And then they start intermixing cuts of the pickleball game and then the M sculpting back at Teresa's house. And so we're kind of like going back and forth here. So we're back at Teresa's house. Jennifer Aiden is talking about what happened at Jen Fessler's party. And she says that if Of Fuda likes a little tickly ass, then tickle the ass. And Danielle says she would do a little double-sided dildo with Teresa.
I thought that was lovely.
Yeah. It's great friendship play.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back to pickleball. Dolores and Rachel win against Margaret and the instructor, which makes me feel like Margaret must be really bad because the instructor is probably really good. The
instructor should be, yeah, right?
And usually if you got one good person on a doubles team, can't you just smoke the other team?
Yeah. But maybe he was just sticking to his half of the court.
Yeah, maybe. So then they sit to chat. Rachel plays her arthritis IFI, injury, fear, or illness play.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah, her shoulder's hurting, and she shares a PTC. When she was 4, she hurt her leg, and it was kind of like a mystery thing, and she ended up getting diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, which I didn't even know was a thing. And she had her hips replaced at 18 years old.
That's amazing. That's awful.
crazy young, and she's been on medication her whole life. Melissa says that her mom broke her elbow that morning when she was babysitting the baby, and she fell and like caught herself on her elbows, which is crazy. We get a little decent face play here from Fuda at this reaction to this, but I have to say, it's just not the same face play in this franchise as we get in.
No, it's pretty. You got to really work to find face play in this. And I really worked, and I found some eventually.
Yeah. We need some like huge mouth, large lip face play from like Monica or Heather on Salt Lake City. They're like
Mary Cosby, you know?
Heather was so good with the two part, like some big face and then like hiding behind something. Oh, I miss that. They talk about the shore trip and who is going to stay where. So Margaret's going to stay with Melissa. Rachel is going to have Danielle and Jen Fessler at her house. And then Melissa also says she's going to have a birthday party for Of Gorga. Back to Teresa's house. Danielle is now on the table getting her M sculpt on. And we get a face play reaction from Jennifer, kind of like a clenched jaw, bared teeth. So also a decent face play. She shares that she is staying with the Fudas. Do I have that wrong? No, Danielle shares that she's staying with the Fudas.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because Jennifer has her own house.
Her own condo, which I always sort of feel like, is that like runner up? Because the other shore houses are on the water that everyone else has, right? And hers is like a condo. And I'm always like,
oh, I didn't realize that.
I know Melissa's is, and I think the Fudas is also right on the water.
Okay. Teresa says she's fine with Danielle being friends with them despite their issues with her. Then they go back to the pickleball chat. Margaret brings up the drug dealer accusation. Rachel Fuda says that when Of Fuda was 17, he was selling pot and got arrested. And that's all this whole drug dealer thing is about. He was basically a child. Rachel expresses that the gate is now completely shut on Of Fuda's ex after spreading this rumor. It is bolted shut. She's a piece of shit, and Rachel has nothing to say to her.
Yes. And Rachel was also saying a lot of how it is disgusting that a grown woman is using something that happened when he was a child against him. And I think that is her talking about Teresa, I thought. Or was it her talking about?
Oh, I thought it was talking about the ex.
Oh, I see. I thought the whole thing was talking about, but I watched this a lot quicker than my normal watch.
Oh, but it is very similar because they both went to prison. And she's saying she went to prison and she hasn't had any growth. I thought she was talking about the ex.
Oh, no, I think that's talking about Teresa.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Bleacher Nation, let us know. I don't think we're going to go back and watch it just to check, but but you out there listening, you know. All right. And so after commercial, we come back and we're at the Jersey Shore. Only unlike the reality TV show Jersey Shore, there's a lot less bleeping. So,
and this is their only trip this season, by the way.
I know that there's something happened with their, like the house caught on fire for their international trip they were supposed to take or something.
They're supposed to take an international trip and it got canceled.
It's a little rough. So we're going to be in Jersey for the rest of the time.
We are.
In Jersey. That's right. Jersey's lovely. They call it the Garden State for a reason. Okay, so we're at Melissa's shore house, and we have some cute little scenes with Donna Marca, who is Melissa's mother, and we see her all with her IFI all kind of bandaged up. She can't do her own hair. Aww, and so
poor lady.
Melissa's doing it for her. I know. My best friend when I was a kid growing up, she fell off the monkey bars and broke both her arms at the same time.
Ugh.
And I remember her mom asking her to do something once and being like, what's the matter with you? You got two broken arms?
Oh.
And then she was like, oh, right, you do. So anyway, so then Margaret shows up at Melissa's house. This is honestly, there's just so, I feel like so little happening in all this. It's all set up for a party that also has not much happening at it.
Well, Nico did some nice barking for some more screen time.
Sandra, we're going to have a little chat about you and Nico. I'm going to talk to Evie about this. It's a little, I'm starting to wonder. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm just saying that diaper dog is working overtime.
Well, the fact that I wanted to give the cake fashion play, and the thing you're most excited about in this episode is the dog in a diaper. I don't know what that says, but I don't know if it's good.
We know where our priorities are. Yours is with cake, mine is with dogs.
Then we are at Jennifer's house with Teresa showing up, and Dolores is there, and of Aiden's going to be late, and of Dolores prefers St. Martin's to the shore, and Dolores has her own little PTC that it's been 2 years since she's been to the Jersey Shore because of Dolores doesn't like going to the shore. And for those of you who've missed it and are wondering why we're calling the men of Dolores, of Aiden, etc., this goes back to Sandro's amazing revelation last episode when we were watching it and casting about it, that all the men with their similar names are, we're naming them after their women the same way that Margaret Atwood does that for the handmaids in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
So these are our hand husbands.
Much simpler.
Yeah. So then we cut back to Melissa's house, and Joe talks about missing of Aiden and how he hasn't seen of Aiden in a while, and will Jennifer be invited? And we're back to Rachel's house, and we've got Messy Fessy and talking about the party, how of Fessler really loved Rachel spending his money on the Fessler party, the Messy Fessy party. And Jennifer Fessler says it was a very lovely event, except for the Teresa altercation. She says she doesn't have a beef with Teresa. She says, Teresa and I are not close, not like I am with you, to Rachel. And then she talks about how the whole group fights dirty, that the dirtier, like the lower you go, the lower Teresa will go. And so that's kind of a little warning that she's giving Rachel Fuda.
Yeah, it was kind of like her defense of Teresa was that, like, well, everyone's doing it. Everyone's playing dirty.
Right. Which we have said on previous franchises is, you know, that's not a reason to behave poorly. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean you have to jump off a cliff as well.
We tell our kids every day.
So Danielle is showing up, and we have her voiceover in the car where she says, you know, I like Rachel and John, but it's hard to be put in the middle. So she's doing a good job of presenting her storyline here, and her difficulties. So I thought that was well played. So everyone's hanging out in there. Danielle is talking about the party tonight, and please let's not fight. This is my celebration of life for my living husband. And Afuda, of course, says, you know, if someone pushes me, I'm going to fight back. And that's essentially what we get out of this moment before our next commercial.
Yes. I do think it's great play on Danielle and Rachel's part to be staying with each other during this trip. And, you know, Danielle did have a little ITM in there that she's enjoying their new friendship. I think that's really important. Like, Danielle needs good friendships in the group. It's great. It's great for her to get in there with Rachel. I don't know if it's going to last, but.
I don't know if it's going to last either. I think, though, this being the sophomore season for both of these players, our last episode was Fuda-driven, and this one is going to be Danielle Cabral-driven. And sort of like they're giving these sophomore players an episode each to kind of launch into their second season.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm. We'll see who takes it this season.
Yeah. Well, I don't think of Cabral has quite the same chutzpah and presence that of Fuda is showing.
Yeah,
so
he's not quite getting in there with the men the way of Fuda is.
Yeah.
So then we're getting ready for the celebration of life party. Everyone's kind of doing their makeup. We're doing some get ready shots. Over at the Gorgas, of Gorga is wearing Marge's wig. He's so good. This is such a good moment.
This is great.
Margaret's kind of complaining about it, and then she goes over and fixes it for him, and they take a picture together.
And I love moments like that, because that's just, you do see, you know, for all of our in quote friend group referencing, like, these people are friends. They are clearly friends.
Some of them are real friends. And then we're over at the Fudas, and they're making roadies. Danielle comes down the stairs, and she's wearing these like teal, you know, tube top thing with like these shimmery bell bottom pants. And they call it Ariel.
Ariel, like Little Mermaid.
Call her Ariel. Yeah, like Little Mermaid. And this was my fashion play of the game.
Very nice. Very nice. I contemplated it.
It's like my childhood dream to dress like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not like the mixture
all mermaidy
of the shiny fabric with the, like, because it almost looked like
more matte,
like little flowers almost all over the top of the tube top. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, yeah, like a matte top with kind of a ruffled look with sequin shiny pants. And it didn't work for me.
It was more, I just like the pants. I'd give, no matter what she wore with the pants, I like the pants.
Nah, the pants are great. I do agree. The pants are great.
So then they're heading to the party and they're in three different vehicles. We've got a party bus.
We did skip over where Danielle says, like, what's a roadie? It sounds like a blowjob in a minivan behind a gas station, which was my quip of the week. Because that's just, I mean, I'm going to be saying that a lot.
So we got a party bus with Teresa, Dolores, Jen, Aiden, and their ofs. And then in a car, we've got Melissa and Margaret and their two Joes. And then we've got another party bus with the Fessler Cabral Fuda gang. So now we're going back and forth between the vehicles, in and out of conversations. In her vehicle, Teresa is talking about Louis's dad's celebration. And Dolores remarks that Teresa has the big family that she's always wanted with Louis, which was kind of an underhanded dig at the Gorgas here.
Yeah, yeah. Why did we not see any footage from that 8-year sobriety celebration? I thought that was an error. It wasn't my error of the game, but that was kind of an error. It's an error of the game, but it's a probably a positive thing overall, because that does seem like something that should be private.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like an actual Alcoholics Anonymous thing and they didn't want the cameras there.
Oh, yeah, because it turns out most of them are still anonymous.
That would be my guess, but I don't know. In the Gorga car, Joe is practicing officiating the, what's the relation of the person getting married? Is it Melissa's brother?
Melissa's cousin.
Her cousin. Okay.
I had to rewind to find that.
So, yeah, I swear I watched that part like 4 times and I still couldn't figure out who it was. So Joe is practicing officiating Melissa's cousin's wedding, and they're a male gay couple, as we've gone over, and he says that he's going to tell them to kiss the bride. So you got to love a little, like, slightly homophobic humor from Joe.
Well, and I like Margaret was like, no, you cannot say that.
Nope, you can't. Fessler says, oh, yeah, so now we're back to the Fessler vehicle. Fessler says that when Melissa is drinking, she has to protect her ass from her. Love this.
And we have seen this in action. If Dolores had been in their car, she would have been like, yeah, yeah, you do.
They all say Melissa is good times when she's drinking, unlike Jackie. And here we're going to start getting into our other friend who hasn't had much screen time yet.
No.
And Danielle says that Jackie was not nice and was making fun of what she was wearing. And she kind of goes on for a little while saying why she doesn't like Jackie. So we know there's going to be a little feud there.
Yeah, but she also says that's why she didn't invite her. So that's kind of a problem, right? If you're not getting invited to events, thrown by full cast members. Yeah.
That's right. True. So then we arrive to the party. The first to arrive is the Fuda Fessler Cabral group. We see alcohol and food. Everyone is saying, Nate, congratulations on life. Congratulations on living. You're still alive. Which is the opposite of a celebration of life party, by the way.
Yep.
Next, Margaret and Melissa's group arrives. And they introduce us here to someone named Dante Chantel.
Well, so that was the guy. And then his woman is Tiffany Chantal, who is in the cream crochet dress, which I loved.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. They quickly flashed on Dante, like, after they introduced Tiffany and, like, we're like, what is your relationship kind of thing?
Okay.
So, yeah. Got it. So the cream crochet dress, that was almost my fashion play of the game, because that was fashion play that I loved. But then I saw when she was walking, the back has a V, and it looked like the bra strap kind of showed where it shouldn't have. And to really, to win it on, like, amazing fashion play that I love, I want everything perfect.
Okay. It just wasn't good enough for Mandy.
Right. Who is clearly fashion.
As Mandy holds up her.
My, like, tatty black cardigan, my Athleta V-neck t-shirt.
I think you look wonderful. And I don't see any bra straps. So
thank you.
Tiffany, Chantel's husband, works with Avuda. And at this moment, I'm like, who is this lady? But she becomes important later. A group is sitting around and Margaret's icebreaker is everyone on their first husband? I love it. The great icebreaker.
Yep.
And Tiffany Chantel is there and she says she's the second wife and she's the upgrade.
I wanted to hit her in that moment.
I loved it for this great quip. Tiffany Chantel was my bystander of the week.
Nice, nice.
Maybe she's trying to go for a place on the show. Maybe she wants a friend contract or more. She came prepared. She knows what to do on camera. I thought it was great.
She did do good work. This was very good bystander work. I agree. I'm going to piggyback on your bystander of the week. She gets it.
All right.
Because nobody did the worm at that party. So
yeah. And, you know, my heart goes out to Dante Chantel's previous wife. I'm sure you're a wonderful person too.
Yeah.
Danielle says there was no food at Fessler's party and that's why things got psycho. And then Teresa, Jen Aiden, and Dolores's group gets their last. So TFP goes to all three of them.
Excellent.
So they show Teresa and Jen walk in and they show people's reactions. And Avuda says, here we go.
Here we go. Included in those reactions before we go to commercial, and I can't remember if they replay it or not, Melissa does this really big eye roll, and that was my face play of the game.
Oh, Melissa pulling out the eye roll face play. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of tension as they walk in, and Aiden, of course, says hello to Margaret. And through all of these little moments of everyone greeting each other afterwards, Melissa does this whole saucy, snarky, you know, making fun of the fact that she was not greeted by anybody.
Yes, but did you miss that she immediately goes for Dolores's ass?
No, I did. I totally missed that.
We don't get to see her like cupping it and like swinging it up and down, but there's this kind of a reach and she says something about her ass and I was like, oh, there it is right off the bat.
I totally missed that. I was so busy still typing about her eye roll probably.
You got the eye roll, but you missed the ass play.
That's such a bummer. I really would prefer it the other way around. So of Dolores is talking to of Daniel about his surgery and we learn his recovery was almost, it was immediate. Like the next day he was walking around and totally fine. They show a picture of that. We then get a gospel choir from DC that Danielle brought to sing for him. And there's lots of happy dancing. So we've got some really good show me the money play going on throughout this whole party. We've basically got no major drama, though.
I think I just realized. So when you said Melissa was upset that no one said hi to her, I think I interpreted that differently.
Oh.
But I wasn't really sure how to interpret it. I thought she was mocking someone.
She was like, that's what she was doing. She was doing this like saucy, snarky, like, oh, look at my face or something like that.
Okay. But you took it as she was doing that because no one was saying hello to her.
It was like, well, I mean, it was a joint decision, right? I feel like, you know, nobody,
gotcha.
He wasn't going to go say hi to those people and those people weren't coming to say hi to her. And so she was making a lot of fun of that moment. And I'm undecided if the way Margaret reacted to that is my error of the week or not.
Oh, when she tells her to stop?
Yeah. When she tells her to calm down, I was like, well, should she? Or should she get loud? Anyway, so we've got no major drama, but Teresa wants Aiden's pot pen and to grab it and go off into the corner and talk with Fessler.
Before that, after the gospel choir plays, Danielle has her little ITM about how nice it is for Daniel to be well now and everything. And I just wanted to point out, I was just going to say this is a little bit of an error, but because I didn't pull out any other big errors during the game, I'm making this my error of the game, which is that I felt like, yes, Danielle was playing a good PTC here. Like this is, but it's the makings of a good PTC here with what her husband went through, but she wasn't really letting the walls down Like, I felt like she could have let us in so much more. Like, I wasn't that affected by it because it was like, my husband went through this thing and this happened and now we're doing this celebration of life. But like, there was no tear play. There was no like, this is what it was like at home. This was flashing. Like,
yeah, her daughter would have been two at yeah. that time, which so that would have been rough.
Yeah. Like, my life was flashing before my eyes. I was imagining my life without him. Like, there was nothing. We weren't really let in the way that she really could have. Like, this was an opportunity to let the audience in that she didn't capitalize on, in my opinion. So this is my error.
I think that's an excellent error. I think that's a great point because I totally agree. It's like the ghost of a PTC, you know, mm-hmm. It's not really, it's PTC adjacent, you know, it's like, Heather Gate it all the way.
Yeah. It's like you're going through the motions of a PTC, but you're not
opening up. You're not emoting at this time in life.
Yeah. You're not really passionate about it.
But I think that goes back to part of her not being at that place yet where she is able to be super comfortable and authentic. Like, she's able to be that, like, I'm at a party with new people, really funny on camera, but she's not mm-hmm. quite ready to be super walls down.
Yeah.
Danielle, we love you. This is what we're advising. Start work on breaking down those walls. Let us in.
You can do it.
Back to how this party doesn't have a whole lot of major drama. Teresa and Messy Fessy are going off to chat in the corner.
Now, remind me, because I didn't write it down. Who pulls who? Oh, I did write it down. Teresa pulls Jen Fessler.
Teresa okay. pulls Fessler out.
Okay.
And after getting the weed pen from Jen Aiden. And I think there is even a comment of like, maybe she'll talk more. Teresa brings up how Dolores heard from Frank that there was a whole reunion pregame strategy meeting mm-hmm. and prepping because Louis would have all this info because of the private investigation work that he had done. And we learn that the Fudas were there. Margaret and her and of Margaret were there. Her mm-hmm. of Margaret were there. The Gorgas were there. And Jackie was there without her husband. And that was it, right?
Jen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Fesslers were there.
Right.
Both Fesslers. And it was, like I said, it was all about them trying to prep for whatever information that Louis must have, which, by the way, if you're like, oh, shit, somebody sent a private investigator on us, we need to be ready to respond to the information they will have.
I think that's fair.
So that says there's information to be had.
If there is, right?
Yeah. Margaret was going to have the recording of her son being threatened, which didn't get played. Fessler doesn't remember that things were used that were going to be used.
Yeah, I was a little confused on this. So she says Margaret was going to pull out the voice recording of Teresa threatening her son. And then she says, from what I remember, it wasn't even used. Does that mean that Margaret never played the recording? Or does it mean Margaret did play the recording, but the producers didn't use it? Like, they didn't put it in the final cut?
That's a good question. I honestly thought, I sort of didn't take the production side into account. And I just thought that Margaret wound up never playing it.
Because it's, from what I remember, it wasn't even used. Like, wouldn't you remember that? If they actually played it, you'd remember that.
Yeah. No, it definitely was not ever played. It was just alleged.
Right. Well, on our end, it was never played.
Correct.
But I'm saying if it was played at the reunion, you think that Jen Fessler would remember one way or the other whether they actually played it.
You would. So, and I took a little bit of it as meaning Fessler doesn't have a great memory.
I was just wondering if it played, but she meant she couldn't remember if it aired or not.
Yeah, like I just sort of like thought that maybe like this whole the way this was edited, I thought maybe she doesn't have a great memory because she was saying, you know, like Teresa says, like, and then you said you guys didn't, you know, you didn't stick to the plan or whatever. And Fessler's like, I don't remember saying that. But then she was like, but I remember they didn't execute. They didn't use that info,
I mean, I guess it is like a high stress environment. And if you're not used to it, you probably kind of black out for parts of it.
Well, and it's even, you know, if you talk to people who do improv, right? They, you know, like you can come up to them after the show and tell them like, this part was amazing. They'll be like, I have no memory of that. So, because they're just so in the moment that it doesn't go into long-term storage. Hmm. So this whole scene was very interesting because this is definitely setting some groundwork here for the future. And I'm scrolling down to look at like what did I write down for my play of the week and my error of the week because they're closely tied together here. And in some ways they are both things are both things in this.
Okay.
So then we have a little voiceover, and I think it's Margaret who's saying, "You never know what Fessler will say when she's cocktailed up." So the rest of Team Gorga is over there watching this transpire, and they're really on edge about what Fessler's doing and
Yeah.
not comfortable. And at the very end, obviously, we see Rachel Fuda is like definitely upset. The producers ask Fessler during an ITM if she thinks Louis did call Margaret. And that's one of the things that Fessler tells Teresa. Fessler tells Teresa, like, Margaret was hysterical. I've known her for a really long time. And Margaret was hysterical that day that she heard that Louis called her son. And Teresa swears on her four daughters that that was not Louis. So that's each party's line. And it puts Fessler in this weird position. Fessler, who said to Margaret one episode ago that basically she is Margaret's ride or die. If Margaret doesn't want her to talk to Teresa, she won't. And here she is talking to Teresa, actually trying to smooth out a path and be a little bit of a negotiator for both of them to be friends or whatever. But
And so when the producer asks her if she believes Teresa, she says she wants to believe
she
Teresa.
wants to
She
believe.
likes Teresa. She enjoys her and she can't help it.
She can't help it. And she says, "You can't stop staring at her. You never know what's coming. And maybe that makes me disloyal, but I like Teresa."
Yeah.
So.
So what do you think? Do you believe Teresa when she swears on her four daughters?
I don't think her swearing on her four daughters is. I don't know that I don't believe her, but I don't know that her swearing on her four daughters is a meaningful swear. Like, obviously, I think she loves her four daughters very much, but I don't think she is truly swearing on her four daughters when she's, I think that's just words that come out of her mouth. I don't
I
know that they're meaningful.
disagree because I
Yeah.
think she's like a highly emotional, highly loyal person. And I think when Teresa says like that, something like that, it's serious and she means it. And so it makes me wonder, A, could there be nothing to this because they do have, supposedly have some sort of legal thing. So have they now found out through some means that this was not done by Louis and that's what they're
Yeah.
going to come out with? Or B, did Louis do it and Teresa doesn't know about it
Sure.
and he's not admitting it to her?
Sure.
But I believe Teresa in this moment. I
Okay.
really do.
Okay. I have a hard time. I have a hard time. I feel like Fessler. I don't know. I just don't know which way to turn. So Fessler asked Teresa also if. When Teresa said that Afuda was a drug dealer, did she mean now or was she talking about him in the past? And this is my other option for an error of the week is Teresa's like, "Oh no, I look at him and I see like I definitely meant in the past. Like now I look at him and I see, you know, like a great father, like he's got a good job, you know, like." And I thought this is such a like practice load of bullshit that she has decided to say.
Yes, this felt that part of this conversation felt very set up and pre-planned.
Yeah.
Like, and then you will ask me this so that I can tell my true opinion about how I actually think he's wonderful and he's great. And yeah, that felt very set up.
Yeah. So and that casts the rest of it in a different light. You know, that makes me feel like it's not authentic when she's talking about swearing on her four daughters. But
But I will say that this whole thing with Jen Fessler and Teresa. And Jen Fessler kind of like getting everyone's guard up and her like trying to understand Teresa and like kind of like quote unquote switching sides here was actually my play of the game.
we have a double play of the game, and I'm not sure. Are you laying that on Teresa or Fessler?
Fessler.
Me too. So, because I think opening up to Teresa, admitting that she likes Teresa, Not only at the party, but in that ITM where she is not drunk that we know of. I thought that was a ballsy ass play, and it sets her up for more screen time. This was a great play by the messy Fessy. So I liked it.
I liked it too. It got her on the trailer. It gets her like some attention, and people are going to be talking about, can you believe what Fessler did with Teresa? And what, and as a friend, you really need that, or you don't get much at all.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm super curious now. So I will say then, because of this conversation, I am going to say that my error of the game is the way that Teresa talked about Afuda and tried to backtrack, because I think that makes the rest of her seem less honest. And so that is my error of the game. I'm trying to get a hold of Messy Fessy on here because on Instagram, because I want to see if her numbers have gone up, but I guess I'll just be in the dark.
I think, yeah, it was such good play. It makes me curious to see how well she does the rest of the season, because I think if she keeps playing like this, I could see a full housewife position for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like this episode is definitely not helping Team Gorga out. So at the end of this episode, Afuda is, you know, if somebody made an accusation about you and insulted your name, et cetera, like, would you be upset? And Rachel is talking about how, you know, she thought Fessler was her ride or die, and there she is butting up to Teresa. And so that is kind of how that episode ends.
Yeah.
So it was a muted drama, but definitely, you know, like there's a lot of positioning still going on.
Yeah, it set us up for oh, I wonder what's going to happen next episode now.
Yeah, now exactly.
Jen Fessler has set some stuff in motion, and she's got some people pissed at her, and now we want to see how is that going to play out. So we get some scenes from next time. It's a really short and sweet one this time. We're going to say goodbye to Gabriella. We are going to do ass shots at the shore with a blow-up doll.
As one does, in a minivan behind a gas station.
And Margaret is going to come for Jackie.
Yeah.
So our other friend may get some more screen time here coming up, and we'll see how she compares.
All right. Well, so that was our episode. That was our week of play. And who do you think was the MVP of the game?
Yeah, I had a hard time with this. Took some thought. It's actually good that we clarified last episode that we are never going to give this to a friend. It has to be a full housewife player, because I was kind of leaning Jen Fessler.
Yeah, she played a great game.
I was like, she's the only one who pulled anything big. So it was like, kind of want to give it to her. But we decided we're only giving it to full housewife players. And so for her diapered and peeing all over the house pampered pet, Nico, for her tear play around her daughter leaving PTC and telling her daughter to explore her wild oats, for her my family treats you so nice dig at Teresa, and for her of Joe Gorga, who entertained us this episode with an uncomfortable gay marriage joke and wearing Marg's wig, and for her ass play with Dolores and drunk mockery at the celebration of life for someone who is still alive, Melissa Gorga was my MVP.
Very nice. I totally disagree. I thought Melissa's play this week was not very strong, but you have a lot of excellent moments that you have called out.
I would not have given it to her if it weren't for the Joe Gorga moments, because we did talk about last episode, the husbands can't get it, but they can give points to the person they're associated with. So I thought that those points put her over the top just because I didn't feel like anyone other than Jen Fessler really pulled it out.
Well, I don't know that anybody really like pulled it out in a stunning style, but I do think that somebody carried the episode thematically throughout. And that is our, in her sophomore season, for her consistent dance mom plays, for her ghosty PCTs, she's on the Pacific Crest Trail, for her ghosted PTCs, for hosting a celebration of life for her living husband, for walking the line, trying to be neutral, and her open discussions of how she hates it and is uncomfortable, Danielle Cabral was my MVP.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, it that was the episode doesn't happen without her and her party.
That's true. It was, yeah, the episode was kind of about her family, her husband, her daughter, more than anyone else on a personal level. That said, it was the error, I think, for me that
made me
hold back from giving it to her. Just because I was like, she could have done so much more with this.
She could have. And that's, I mean, to be honest, though, that's how I felt about Melissa. I felt like Melissa.
That's how I always feel about Melissa. But she's got the husband, and that's what keeps her on the show.
Yeah. That is, it is indeed. Well, but it was a good episode. Well, it was an okay episode.
Yeah. Out of 10.
Yeah. Out of 10, it was like a 3.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
We are a 4.
I was going to give it a 5 or a 6.
I mean, it had a little excitement pulled out of the end, but it wasn't like, you know.
It wasn't awesome.
No, it's an episode designed to set us up for where we're going.
Yes, agreed.
It's part of our journey.
And listen, they built on their EWIB. So our episodes without invoking bitch is now at 2.
Right? Our episodes without apology are probably even higher.
Yeah, so Jen Fessler did say a real quick sorry in her ITM. I wasn't sure if it registered, but she was it was more of our sarcastic sorry. She was like, I like Teresa. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I get that.
I don't know if that registers.
But I don't think that counts. Yeah. Does not invoke the apology rubric at all.
All right. So we're a 0 on apology rubric, but we are at 2 for the EWIB. So we're working our way up. Let's see how high we can get it.
I love it. Yeah. I didn't even have time to think about apology play this game. And it's just like getting to the end of my notes where I see my sad little rubric all alone. I should say your sad little rubric.
My sad little rubric. All right, friends. You can follow us at Real Housewives of Bend, Oregon on Instagram. Please do subscribe to the podcast and leave us a nice little review on Apple Podcasts. We could really use that to get the word out.
We're at 5 stars right now. We are a 5-star podcast.
Yes. Keep us there. And the more reviews, the better. And keep stomping from the bleachers. And we're going to be probably a day late on releasing next week because I will be on a trip for a high school graduation of my stepdaughter.
That's very exciting.
It is.
And I will still be on jury duty next week, but hopefully I will
not be on jury duty.
Yeah, and no. Want to be on a jury.
And no one's going to pick you for a jury.
Well, the problem is I'll have to sit around and wait, and then they'll voir dire me and they'll be like, oh, you were an attorney? See ya.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll just talk about being a stay-at-home mom who runs a podcast. Maybe we'll get more listeners if I get on jury duty. That's my new marketing strategy.
An interesting marketing strategy.
I have a podcast. That's what I do. What is your podcast about? It's about Real Housewives. It's a game analysis of Real Housewives from the bleachers.
We'll get one new listener, the bailiff or someone watches Real Housewives in New Jersey.
The bailiff. I just think about that show, Night Court.
I don't even know what a bailiff does. I just pulled out the first legal human name I could think of.
I'm extraordinarily, I was going to say proud, but I don't know if that's the right word either.